Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Canadian Pod Cow. I'm Sarah Sash. I'm a dairy producer in beautiful British Columbia, and I'm joined by my Ontario colleague and friend, Andrew Campbell.
Hey, Sarah, how's it going in BC? We are, like, still not quite ready for winter here. It's been a wonderful, dry, sunny fall, and I could do this all winter long. It feels like BC right now in Ontario. That's what it feels like.
Well, it's been kind of t-shirt weather on the days that it's not hosing rain here. So, I mean, it's not bad.
Okay, well, maybe not quite BC, because we're not t-shirt weather. I kind of forget that you don't ever have winter. But how is everything? Are you kind of like into the fall swing of all of the meetings now?
Yeah, I think as referenced by my face, I've been traveling quite a lot. but I'm home to be for a couple of weeks here, I think. I'm around home, looking forward to the BC Dairy Conference coming up at the end of the month. Some of those, you know, we've all got, your meeting is at a different time of year, but those of us in the West and elsewhere have our AGMs and all the things, starting to move into a little chiller, more kind of season where we're maybe looking at some stuff on the web about raising animals.
Oh, maybe doing that because you have so much time now in the winter. Because today, Sarah, we're actually going to talk about a new initiative by Lactinet and the Dairy Farmers of Canada.
Yeah, we will indeed fill your winter with interesting facts. A week ago, on October 24th, the Dairy Hub was announced, the Canadian Dairy Hub. This is a new thing launched by Lactinet, and we are going to learn about it.
So now, if you are a subscriber of the Dairy Express email, you might have already heard of this. If you are not a subscriber to that, I question why you're not. You should get that from DFC. But in that article, the Canadian Dairy Hub, basically, it talked about the fact that this is going to support dairy farmers to improve their operation by really accessing science-based practical resources based on the research that we all pay for, Sarah.
Legitimately, the allspark of Canadian dairy knowledge. What does it mean practically? Where can we find it? Let's find out together on this episode of the Canadian Podcast. Our guest today is a young Franco-Ontarian professional who is shining in the field of agriculture.
She grew up on a dairy farm in Embrun in Eastern Ontario and has always been passionate about farming. And from a young age, Vicky has been involved in her community, particularly 4-H clubs. After a bachelor's degree in animal science and a master's in animal nutrition at the University of Guelph, she kickstarted her career as a ruminants technical services specialist at Jeffo.
She is also co-founder of the Eastern Ontario Women in Agriculture Network and has sat on the Canadian Agricultural Youth Council. Today, she is the National Knowledge Mobilization Manager at Lactinet. Vicky Brisson, welcome to the Canadian Podcow.
Thanks so much, Sarah and Andrew.
It's great to have you, Vicky, and it's really interesting to see how quickly you've moved into this space, in the dairy sector. And that really is where I want to kind of get started, from that young age in Eastern Ontario. You know, where did that passion for dairy come from?
I mean, I like to joke that it's literally in my blood. I grew up on my family's dairy farm, but both of my parents are also from farming families themselves. I think I'm actually the seventh generation who grew up on our dairy farm. But more than that, it's the way that our parents implicated us in the daily chores, right? As soon as we could help, even just push the scraper to clean out the waiting area, we'd be right up there. Getting up, just, you know, making sure that the barn cleaner was done while the grown-ups were focusing on big other tasks. It just really made us feel involved. And to me, it was just never a question of what other industry or, you know, area do I want to work in. It was, I want to work in the dairy industry. Now, how and where? That was always just up for questioning, or I guess not so much. I think like a lot of people who make their way to Guelph, my initial goal was to become a large animal veterinarian. Now, life didn't lead me there, and I'm happy it didn't. I learned so much, though, while spending time on the road with large animal vets, shadowing them, getting to just know other dairy farms, how veterinarians approached questions, challenges on the farm. And I'd say that was also a big part of what drew me to continuing a career in the dairy industry. More than that, though, I should also know that we did have a herd dispersal and sold our quota in 2013 due to family health issues. But regardless, I still decided to stay involved in the dairy industry. I think like a lot of us who grew up in this industry, it's just part of our DNA, part of who we are and what we do. So I decided to, you know, just help other dairy farmers in the area do relief milking where I could. And that also just gave me an opportunity to see the way that things were done elsewhere. And sometimes, as much as I hate to admit it, just say how right my dad was to do certain things, or why my mom was so stringent on, you know, the pre-milking protocols and making sure that all of the calf buckets were properly cleaned. My parents also, funny fact, met through 4-H. And so I like to say that even 4-H is in my blood. So as soon as I could get started, I was, you know, training and showing in the dairy clubs. Also, obviously, couldn't miss out on the vet clubs. And then just through that, I'd say also develop leadership and communication skills. And I just learned to grow out of my shell, because you maybe couldn't believe it, but as a kid, I was quite shy. So through that, I just learned to say yes to different opportunities, whether that was being a 4-H Ontario ambassador, but even just applying for a role on the Canadian Agricultural Youth Council. That allowed me to connect with people across the industry, learn from them. And I'd say that's what got me here today. Just that curiosity, that willingness to not know everything and to continue learning, to surround myself with people who know more than I do, and ultimately just to do the best I can and show up.
Well, those are all pretty fantastic qualities in a person, and certainly we're fortunate to have them in the dairy industry. We have heard that you have a role with Lactonet as the National Knowledge Mobilization Manager, which sounds like an amazing title, but I'm wondering if you could tell us more about what your role is, what it means, how it works. Just give us the down low on what you do with Lactonet.
Absolutely. So it's a long title, but I won't bore you with the details. I actually prefer to explain it with analogies. I like to say I'm like a leader of the orchestra, right? So I maybe don't play a specific instrument, but I make sure that there's proper collaboration and just understanding of what our innovation and development team does. That's made up of 20 experts or 20 or so experts in the field of dairy, of the dairy industry, but also with our marketing and communication team. We also have a team across the country that's actually out in the field meeting with dairy farmers every day. So my job is just to make sure that everyone's strengths are brought together so that when farmers use or consult our resources, it's based in science, but it's also clear, it's to the point, and it's interesting, because we don't want to sit down, even just for myself, I don't want to sit down and read kind of a 10-page document unless I'm really, you know, into that curiosity and exploration mode. So that's what I like to do. And ultimately, I couldn't do it all without my team that I lead as well. So we have 3 knowledge transfer specialists at Lactonet who work with me. And they really ensure that, you know, there's all of our projects run smoothly and that we're able to deliver to dairy farmers.
Now, one of those big projects you've got that you really are just kind of launching here is the Canadian Dairy Hub, which sounds very exciting and certainly I think fits very well with, you know, the title of kind of that knowledge mobilization. Give me an idea. What is the Canadian Dairy Hub, Vicky?
So I have to start by saying that the Canadian Dairy Hub is essentially what I spend the majority of my time on. So it's become like... I don't know. Sometimes I refer to it as almost like a second master's degree because I'm in it day in, day out. But it's essentially a project that was launched as part of DFC's strategic plan for 2023 to 2025. And the objective is quite simple, ultimately. It's to create a central space or a one-stop shop where farmers can go and find the information that they need to address challenges that they have or to reach the big goals that they want to reach. That is not to replace on-farm advisors, but really more to complement, to get farmers thinking in a way that's easy. We all have phones on us all of the time. And there's so many resources out there, but we know that farmers are busy people. I think the two of you are perfect examples of that. And you know, it doesn't need to be complicated. It just needs to be to the point. There's a lot out there. And so our job is to make sure that it's clear. It's also information that's based on Canadian research. And of course, we know that, you know, a lot of the research, the dairy research in Canada is funded by farmer dollars. And so we want to make sure that you know the results or the impact that those farmer dollars invested have and that they can get back to you on the farm and so that they can actually influence the way you do things.
So is the main objective then this central kind of space to be able to look for everything? Are there different subcategories or like, how's it organized? I mean, I popped onto the site once, but I'm curious kind of what the background is to how you've organized it and made it convenient for farmers. Yeah.
Well, and so I should say as well, just before I go into that, that ultimately our project team is not just, you know, trying to create more content because there's already so many resources that exist out there. So the other objective with the Canadian Dairy Hub is to bring all of the industry's stakeholders and supporters in one space. So we work with provincial boards. The goal is also, you know, for us to work with vet associations, with nutritionists, so that we can use the resources that they have and also showcase them, right? So sometimes we may know that farmers in Quebec or dairy farmers of Quebec have a great resource, but maybe it's just not translated to French or to English and it's not made available to Ontario or the rest of the country or vice versa. So our goal is to just not recreate the wheel and help get access to those key resources. And the other thing is also just that it's not just decentralized and to lose that regionality, because we still have to be mindful that sometimes what works in a province or in a region will not necessarily work elsewhere. And so that's where, even with the Canadian Dairy Hub, it's important that we still have those provincial or regional connections to make sure that we're not out of touch with the content that we provide. But now back to your original question, there's a lot out there. So based on work that we did with our project advisory committee, we actually narrowed it down to four key themes that we'll be addressing in the Canadian Dairy Hub in the next few years. The first one is sustainability. I think that's a topic that's being talked a lot about. And again, we're just bringing all of the resources into one place, making sure that it's also not just information, but that it's practical tools and resources for farmers. The next one is also a big one, and that's the Canadian or the code of practice. And we want to make sure that we're not only telling farmers what they need to do or what the requirements are, but also supporting them in the adaptations that may be required so that they feel those requirements, that they understand the why behind it and what it means and how it is supporting them to ensure their efficiency. The third one is animal health. And our fourth one is management and reproduction.
And so it's one of those situations with when you talk about, you know, dairy farmers obviously being the ones that are going to look at a lot of this, and we are the ones, you're right, Vicky, in terms of, you know, putting a lot of funding to this. But this sounds like actually a lot of the industry could benefit from this. Like, it sounds like, you know, my feed rep and my vet and my all of these people might get something out of the Canadian Dairy Hub too. It really sounds like an industry-wide resource.
You're absolutely right, Andrew. Actually, I could not have said it better. So I just want to essentially resonate on what you just said and remind everyone that our primary target is dairy farmers. But sometimes dairy farmers have too much on the go. They don't necessarily have time to even just look at those updated resources. So nutritionists and other industry stakeholders are the best position to bring those resources back to farmers to complement other strategies or goals that they may be working on with farmers. And we have to remember that those advisors, unfortunately for us, but luckily for them, see dairy farmers a lot more often than we get to. So that proximity is also key. And if they can bring back some of those frequent challenges that they hear that they feel like maybe are not solved or addressed, we always kind of have an open door, you know, active listening policy, if you will, and we're always happy to receive that feedback.
So you talked about DFC's 3-year strategic plan, and you are in partnership with Dairy Farmers of Canada on this project. Can you say what the role of DFC is with the hub?
Absolutely. So DFC is actually our full funder for the project. So they're 100% funding the project, but it goes beyond that. It's not just a funding role. We actually have two DFC employees who are actively involved in the governance and the management of the project. So I actually like to say that these DFC employees are like my new colleagues, my adopted colleagues, because we meet with them a lot. We work through challenges, but also it helps us bring that big vision of the project to make sure that different perspectives are considered as we create this project.
So then in terms of how it does fit with kind of the whole dairy knowledge transfer project, I mean, it's one of those areas where, you know, I remember seeing some of these knowledge transfer projects 15 or 20 years ago as really this mindset shift to try to make sure that, you know, the research is great. There's a lot of great information and resources. It doesn't always hit, you know, the farmers or anything like that. Can you talk a little bit about the Canadian Dairy Hub is obviously an important part of that, but where does it fit with the entire project in terms of trying to get this research information in the hands of producers?
Yeah, so the National Dairy Knowledge Transfer Project is essentially equivalent to the Canadian Dairy Hub, if you will. So it's the result of all of the work that has been done beforehand to identify the industry needs, to identify the methods to reach farmers like yourselves. And it's also, there's going to be more to it. So the Canadian Dairy Hub has been set up as this... easy to relate to, or hopefully that's our objective. Certainly, if you say Canadian Dairy Hub and then you say National Dairy Knowledge Transfer Project, one flows a lot more easily and is a lot more memorable. So ultimately, you know, the Canadian Dairy Hub is the marketed name, if you will, for this National Dairy Knowledge Transfer Project.
So, Vicky, I have to pause you here because this doesn't seem like typical dairy industry fashion. We should have named it a bigger name, like National Dairy Knowledge Transfer Project, and use the acronym for it, the NDCTPA, instead. So I congratulate you on changing the name from NDCTPA to Canadian Dairy Hub. That actually is a great idea.
Thank you, Andrew.
We still have the acronym of KTTs to get more used to, though. So. Yes. Vicky, we have to stop for a message from our sponsor, but hang in there, everyone. We're going to learn more about the Dairy Hub, all the acronyms to go with it, and the resources available to help us right after the break.
As Canadian dairy farmers, we follow ProAction, Dairy Farmers of Canada's national quality assurance program with 6 modules. Modules like milk quality, that stands for high standards of milk production, or food safety, producing milk that meets 42 requirements, and animal care, that means caring for every cow. ProAction sets standards of excellence. That's what's behind the blue cow logo. Dairy Farmers of Canada. We're back at the Canadian PodCow with Vicky Brisson, National Knowledge Mobilization Manager with Lactinet. Vicky, tell us a few about the topics that are covered in the Canadian Dairy Hub, because you mentioned a little bit about kind of the sustainability piece, which is obviously really important, you know, the code of practice, another key thing, but maybe delve into those a little bit deeper, cover a couple of the other subjects that are within the hub.
Yes, Andrew. So obviously we have our 4 key themes just to help give us direction, because when we think of even just what do farmers need and want to learn about, I think we could spend years on that. So we actually worked with our advisory committee, which was composed of different representatives from the industry. And we came up again with specific subtopics in all of these themes. So I'll start off with a few examples. When we talk about animal welfare, we're actually currently working and starting to launch resources on management and housing of dairy calves. So of course, you know, it's not just what are or how are we filling the code requirements, but it's what are the different impacts to those changes, right? Before moving a calf to group housing, you really need to make sure that your colostrum protocol is understood and is applied. You need to make sure that you don't have any underlying health issues, because when you group those calves, you know, it becomes a different type of management. Speaking of management, we're also working on creating content that highlights the link between the transition period management and health and how that impacts future reproductive health of the herd. So that starts at dry off and that goes up to when that cow is ready to be bred. When we think of animal health, our goal is not to replace or redo what veterinarians are already doing. We just want to bring, again, some more practical resources that are available for free to farmers across the country. So we're focusing on the areas of lameness as well as milk quality, and that goes along with udder health. And then last but not least, we have sustainability. So we actually, before this was branded as the Canadian Dairy Hub, did a series of webinars in March of 2024, and it was called About Sustainability. So that was essentially an introduction to it. What does sustainability mean? And later in the project, in the coming years, we'll also be addressing possible adaptations to climate change, whether that be adaptations that need to be considered in the farm or in the fields. And again, these are all recommendations, areas for reflections, and our goal is not to force or mandate farmers to apply these, but just to equip them with new resources, tools, or even just connections. A lot of time, I know I do, and I know that, you know, my family did, is that peer-to-peer learning is also essential in the dairy industry.
So then, Vicky, it was one where just ahead of time, you know, you Google Canadian Dairy Hub. It's the first thing that comes up. It's right there online. It looks great as a site. So kind of this is kind of a two-part question. Is one, is that the best place to get to access all of this information? And then two, once we're in there, you know, how am I going to find this information? Is it all kind of PDFs and I get the full reports? Is it summaries? What am I going to see once I get there?
That's an excellent question, and I'm actually going to start with the first piece where I'm happy to hear that you Googled it and it brought you right to the page. Currently, it's probably one of the easiest ways to find it right now. There's also, you know, it's essentially hosted on the Lactinet website. And so if you go to Lactinet, to the folder trainings and events, there is a subfolder that brings you to it. Now, I think the easiest way for the audience to access it is actually if our team could put it in the show notes. I think that would be fantastic, just a clickable link. And that's actually what we've been doing. Just when we send out emails or even just social media posts, we just link directly to it. And the reason to that is that we are working on having a standalone web page or website for the project as a whole. So again, to answer the second piece of your question, where do you go to find information and how, you know, what type of format is available? That's in constant, it's in constant evolution. Again, we didn't want to make a perfect website and have no content to add to it. And so that's why we decided to go ahead and start with the webinars, start with the content released to dairy farmers so that we can then build the website, and that is coming before the end of next year. So definitely stay tuned for that. Then to the last piece of your question, what's the format that's available? So there's a variety of it. So we have a portion that is more, you know, material to read, PDFs. The goal for that is for those, you know, people who love to learn by reading. That's available that way for them. But again, our goal is not to have a complete manuscript or a complete novel on a specific topic. What we're doing is we're simplifying it into a one or two page infographic or fact sheet. Again, the exact format may vary based on the content. And when we're developing them, we're also keeping in mind that ultimately, if farmers want to print them and have them in the office, or for example, if it's about calf rearing, they can just, you know, post it in the calf barn area, and their employees can see it as constant reminders, because the goal is not just to create content that's like a one and done, that's read once and then you don't see it. You know, sometimes we have to see things multiple times before it kicks in. And so that's the objective also with those printed, or I should say documents that can also be printed. The other piece is also just, you know, you mentioned the webinars, but even webinars, for some people, it can be challenging or even just daunting to sit down and listen for something for an hour. So what we've also done to bring that more interactive and interesting portion is we're actually working on developing shorter videos with experts as well as with dairy farmers. So the expert video allows us to go slightly more in depth than we may be able to in the webinar, or, you know, focus on a specific topic. And the farmer testimonial, we're actually, you know, having our video crew go on farm, take footage of what those recommendations actually look like on a natural dairy farm, because we just, you know, want to remind everyone that the goal is not just to share theory with farmers, but really practical tools and resources that yes, are funded or based in science, but that can be applied on farm.
So you've thrown out a lot of great examples. I mean, calves are one of my favorite things, as we know. So I love the example of calves. I'm wondering if you could give us a few more examples just to kind of pique the interest of the listeners about what they might check out on the site.
Absolutely. So a few other things. And again, this is all in development in the development process. But for another example, we have that that link between transition and reproduction. So in our webinars and in our bundle that's being released in 2025, we'll be addressing with the professors Trevor DeVries in our first webinar and with Stephen LeBlanc in the second webinar. First, what are considerations in terms of management, in terms of nutrition that need to be considered to make sure that cows are in the right shape at dry off so that they are healthy throughout the dry off period. There's always limitations as well, right? I know that we see a lot of research from the US coming out about different types of group feedings, but if you've got a smaller herd and you only do one group feeding, how do you manage that? Or if you don't have 20 cows calving per month, how do you manage that dry pen, you know, while also making sure that these animals have freedom of movement in that time period? And then the other piece is also just that link between how the metabolic diseases affect, you know, your reproductive success on the herd. And sometimes, you know, when we're busy, when we're in the rush of things, it's so easy to just see things, yeah, like unidimensionally, right? So to just consider the reproductive period. But what we're trying to do is to bring that systems approach thinking to help farmers really see their farm as a whole and as the system that it really is.
And I see you've got a whole section, fittingly so, on the code of practice. So from your perspective, I mean, we all know that it's very, very important, but why is it important for producers to follow the adaptations of the code of practice?
Absolutely. I'm going to start off by saying that I am not the expert when it comes to the code of practice and to animal welfare. We actually just had a webinar on October 29th that's now available and recorded with Steve Roche. So he did a fantastic job at addressing all of these questions. The webinar was targeted to on-farm advisors, but of course any farmer who also wants to listen to it is more than welcome. But with that being said, as a reminder, the code of practice is that guide of recommendations and requirements that's based on science. So I almost see it as that like reference guide that incorporates in all of the portions of the operation. We know that some aspects of it are already included in the ProAction evaluation program. Others will slowly and progressively be also added to it. And just as a reminder, right, those requirements in the code refer to, you know, either regulatory expectations. Sometimes it's also just expectations that we agree on as a whole. And I think the important piece here to remind ourselves is the goal is not to necessarily bring more red tape to farmers who are already doing well, but just to make sure that farmers who struggle a little have that kind of blueprint to follow and to, you know, discuss with their advisors. And again, as much as, you know, sometimes it is challenging, we do have to remind ourselves that the consumer is consuming our milk and is interested in the way that we're doing things. And so some of these practices are also just based on surveys and polls about consumer perceptions.
Mm-hmm. One of the other ones, and it's kind of the number one, at least, category one, chapter one, being sustainability. It's also the one that you've got probably the most content within. You've got several webinars already recorded. You've got several articles already recorded. Give me kind of an idea of what you really hope to achieve by leading the way in that, given that despite the fact that dairy farmers have always had the environment in the back of their mind, the word sustainability and really prioritizing it as an industry and showcasing it is still a fairly new topic for a lot of us. Give me an idea why it sits as number one with all of that information.
So you started by mentioning something that I want to highlight again, and it's a lot of time when we talk of environment, farmers perceive it as the industry as a whole telling them that they're not doing enough. And I just want to sometimes make sure that we're reframing the narrative around it, right? Like you mentioned, farmers are working with the environment and are feeling the effects of it day in and day out. So our goal is not necessarily to, you know, push down more of what they're already hearing, but just to offer them those tools and those practical solutions. Again, it's number one on the content list. I would say not necessarily in order of priority, more just in logical order in the way that it was mapped out. But that being said, when we talk about sustainability, I also think it's something that farmers have been doing for a long time, and we've just now named it or defined it. And it can mean different things to different people, but the way that I see it, it's environment, but it's also the social aspect of farming, and it's also the economic aspect of farming. And so even though we are specifically addressing components to the environmental sustainability, as a whole, the Canadian Dairy Hub existing supports the economic and social aspects of sustainability because we provide farmers with tools and resources to guide them to the implementation of best management practices, which in turn can result in improved productivity, improved return, as well as just taking care of their people, right? We think a lot of time of even just the stress that it can create for a farmer to have to go out, find new resources or address their challenges or find the tools that they need to reach their goals. It also offers resources so that they can provide new information to their employees to help with that employee engagement and training.
Well, you make a great point that dairy farmers do have a lot on their plates, and I know it can sometimes seem overwhelming. So my question would be regarding learning at your own pace. Is this something that farmers can do when they get some time? Is there a set schedule of webinars, or is there some flexibility to how they can take in this stuff?
So my answer would be yes, yes, and it depends. So the first one is the webinars. Obviously, we're not able to do multiple series of webinars on the same topic. So we do encourage farmers, if they are able to join us live. That allows them to connect with other farmers who are attending the webinar to directly ask their questions in the chat. But we also know that sometimes, even if you plan for it, there's the unexpected dystocia, calving, or the weather is perfect and you've got to be in the fields. I do have to say that we tried to plan our webinars around or out of the planting season. So we have one upcoming in December, or March and February. But that being said, to go back to your initial question, there is no specific way of taking in the content. Again, because of our variety of content that we have, someone who prefers to just watch videos can just choose that content without really missing out on the written content. Obviously, you know, if their curiosity is piqued, maybe it's not covered in the video and that information is still available there. That's the other reason as well why we identified those four key themes, because if someone really wanted to go through essentially a crash course in animal health or in sustainability, then we are guiding them through that path, but there is no prescribed learning path or even timeline that may come in the, you know, in the long future if farmers are really taking up that platform. But on that other note as well, right, I just want to make like an open call, if you will, to dairy farmers listening in. Obviously, we're doing webinars, we're doing those short testimonials, we're doing the infographics, but we can't read your mind. So if you feel like there's any way to learn that you like to learn and you feel like is not captured in the Canadian Dairy Hub, reach out to us, let us know. I'm sure there's going to be other opportunities, but I will just remind you that you can reach us at KTT. So here's the lovely acronym, KTT@lactonet.ca. That's our team's email. So you can reach out to us anytime. I should also just make note that we're trying to be present on social media as much as possible. It's already somewhere that a lot of farmers are already on there. It's sometimes easy to just scroll on it in between different chores or tasks. And so we're trying to bring like bite-sized pieces of information to you until you can get to the full Canadian Dairy Hub.
Well, this is one, if you talk about one that Sarah would email you about, KTT@lactonet.ca, calf rearing for success might be a topic she would want, although she's already fantastic at it. But anyway, you actually have that webinar coming up. Is one of the things that I did notice on your website coming up the first week of December. Is that kind of one of those things that with those webinars coming up, keep an eye on Canadian Dairy Hub. You'll post them. You can register online. That's probably kind of the best tool to just really be able to make sure you're in tune with those upcoming webinars, Vicky?
Great question, Andrew. I'm happy you ask it. So the actual registration link is available on the Canadian Dairy Hub's webpage. But that being said, we know that sometimes even just finding that information can be a challenge in and of itself. So we're making sure to link to it in our social media posts. We've also actually started a mailing list, and that's probably going to be one of our first mail outs. It's just for people who subscribe to the mailing list. They would just automatically get the reminder and the link to register in their inbox. So again, we're trying to have different ways to remind people of how to register, when it's happening. Your provincial contacts or associations may also have printed reminders of where to register. So that would be the best way to do it. And again, even if you're not available on December 4th, or if this episode gets released too close to it, or you're listening to it later, it's always recorded, so you're not missing out on anything. And we do have two more webinars coming in the new year. So on February 12th and March 11th, again, we're having those two webinars to address transition and repro. So more to stay tuned about.
Well, you already got to me with the calf topic. We're signed up at West River. I've got my staff joining me in my office for like a viewing party, if you will, to participate in the webinar. So very much nice. Looking forward to it.
I love that.
And that's I didn't even idea. Know that that was you.
You should start a trend. I like that. Viewing parties in the office.
I don't know. Add in some December, pizza. It seems like.
Add in some pizza if it's around like lunchtime where you're at in the country. That can be like a great holiday event. Perfect. We're figuring
Indeed, there
out
will be
we're
some
being
lunch.
Creative.
Mm-hmm. So Vicky, it sounds wonderful. In closing, if our listeners want to know more, where can they get more information? Or is it just going to find them on the internet? What do you think? And what can we do to be more involved and stay on top of things happening with the Canadian Dairy Hub?
Absolutely. Well, we hope that the information will find you in some way or another, but we do encourage you to go out and look for it. So Andrew referred to it. If you just Google us, Canadian Dairy Hub, that the actual webpage should come right up. That being said, if you're feeling a little more adventurous, you can also visit the Lactinet website. The Canadian Dairy Hub page is, again, under that last training and events section.
I also found it on the front page.
Excellent.
There's a link
yes.
right on the front page of Lactinet.
Again, they I'm prioritize working hard you. To make sure that that stays there right up front Good. And center. But Lock if you don't it. Scroll down, you may miss it. So there's okay, a lot of different ways we try and just make our way to you. But we do encourage you, if it's not coming to you, follow us. We're also on all of your favorite social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, X, and LinkedIn. Again, all of our event recordings are available on YouTube. And like I mentioned, the goal in the next year, we'll be working on building our own separate independent website, if you will. So also stay tuned for that. It should be easier to find us at that point. And last but not least, I did mention the email. So ktt@lactinet.ca. But as well, we do have a mailing list, and I'll share that with the podcast team so that you can join their mailing list and make sure to not miss anything about the new events or resources coming out for the Canadian Dairy Hub.
Well, it's very exciting, Vicky. Congratulations on all the hard work to get this launched. And certainly we hope that everybody in the industry does look you guys up. So Vicky Brisson, thanks so much for joining the Canadian PodCow today.
Thank you so much, Andrew and Sarah.
So Andrew, it sounds like users can find a lot of useful stuff actually on the Canadian Dairy Hub. Not that I'm surprised. I mean, sounds like we've got a great team working on it. There's lots of free science-based things, practical expertise. What's not to like?
Well, you know what? And I actually love this type of thing because, as I mentioned, you know, when we were talking to Vicky about the idea that this really has been one of these things that we've all thought to be important over the last many, many, many years, to be able to kind of see this come to light in something that is also named the Canadian Dairy Hub, which is easy to remember, actually works really well because there is such good research out there. It's a shame that a lot of it we don't always see or don't always know how to access.
Yeah, and I deeply love the fact that she was constantly talking about infographics. If you've ever been in a meeting with me, you know I chronically request them, much to everyone's distaste.
Yeah, it has infographics and calf stuff. Like, yes. You're going to be a number one fan of the Canadian Dairy Hub.
I will be right over there. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to get to that. So I think that's it for today's Canadian PodCow. Thanks you for listening. We give a big thanks to our guest, of course, Vicky Brisson, who has provided the wonderful content that I'm off to go check out. She's from Lactinet. Our sponsors, the Dairy Farmers of Canada, and our production team, of course, the lovely and patient Carl Bellanger and Bruce Sargent.
If you like this episode, make sure you share it with your networks. And don't forget, you can subscribe and like. It always helps new people find us. And you can find us at Canadian PodCow on Facebook, on X, on YouTube, all the places, Sarah. I'm Andrew Campbell.
And I'm Sarah Sash. Let's chat again soon at the next Canadian PodCow.